Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Have you heard the term confirmation bias? It's the tendency to interpret new information and evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs or theories. When what is believed or theorized is true, there tends not to be any problem. Confirmation bias becomes problematic when what is believed or theorized is not true. For instance, if we are sitting inside our home on a winter day and we see it snowing with inches of snow on the ground, we might believe or theorize that it is cold because for snow to stick to the ground, temperatures have to be below freezing. Until we have confirmation what the temperature is, we won't know for sure what the temperature is, but our beliefs and theories about how cold it is aren't going to cause us any problems. But if we are sitting in our home on a winter day and look outside and see clear skies with the sun in the sky, I suppose a person could think that the temperature would be very warm and that winter clothes were not needed. Confirmation bias would cause a problem for us if the temperature was very cold and well below freezing. Beliefs and theories that sunny skies make for warmer weather might make sense, but our interpretation of what we are seeing can cause problems, especially if we have to be in very cold weather, well below freezing, and we are not ready for it. We might think only unintelligent people are subject to confirmation bias. Even intelligent people can be tripped up by it. Intelligent people tend to see themselves as smart. And sometimes they see themselves as being so smart, they do not make mistakes. I remember one time on a reality competition show, a brother and sister team saw themselves as being very smart. And they believed that challenges involving any type of puzzle would not be a problem for them. Then, they came to a challenge that other teams were able to solve, but they could not. The other teams didn't see themselves as incredibly smart, so when they were initially stumped, they thought of another way to solve the puzzle and succeeded. The brother and sister team had confirmation bias that their original strategy was the only correct way to solve the puzzle. It took them a bit to understand they had confirmation bias, and eventually they were able to regroup. Con men get their name from the longer confidence men. We know that con men try to scam people out of their money. If you've ever received an email from a prince of a foreign country that needs your assistance to move money in and out of his country, you have been approached by a con man. Today, we receive all types of phishing emails, which are all cons asking us to urgently update payment methods or worse. My suggestion is if anyone ever receives an email, phone call, or letter advising of the need to contact your bank or credit card company, do not respond to the number in the email, phone call, or letter, and instead use the telephone number you already have with you. Financial institutions already have your financial information and will hardly ever need you to verify every last detail that con men would need. Con men are called con men because they seek to gain our confidence. They want to establish confirmation bias that they are acting in our interest, representing a government, business, or financial institution with whom we have contact. The moment a person believes a con man is legitimate is the moment the con man can easily scam a person out of their money. I don't want anyone to be scammed out of money. And there are worse things that people can be scammed out of. We live in a world where there is incredible evil, and there are people who will scam people out of just about anything to get what they want. We sadly hear of human trafficking, which is a hidden form of slavery, often involving sex or brutal working conditions. Sometimes a con is used to lure somebody as a victim, and confirmation bias is played to. People will steal the identity of another person, and while the victim is hardly guilty of confirmation bias, others in the financial sector fall for confirmation bias, and the victim whose identity is stolen can experience significant financial difficulties. It's natural to want to live a decent life. That natural desire leads many to fall for confirmation bias. There are many who will, for a fee, share with you how to get rich quick, or offer you a business opportunity that, for a fee, will allow you to make extra money. In the world we live in, for so many, it's about the money. But in the world to come, the kingdom of God, money is not what is at stake. Eternal life is at stake, and we need to know if we are being led by the Holy Spirit, or are we being led by confirmation bias. Make no mistake about it, if we are led by confirmation bias, it will be very easy to be deceived by Satan, especially in the end time. When Jesus Christ warned his disciples about the end time and the prevalence of false Christs and prophets, he showed that deception would be so convincing that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. From that, we can gather that while the very elect will not be deceived, there will be many who call themselves Christians who will be deceived. Jesus went on to show that when he returns to earth, it will not be a secret event, but as easy to see as the sunrise. He added that at immediately after the great tribulation, the sun would be darkened and the moon will not give its light. That could be anything from a solar and lunar eclipse to a solar eclipse and new moon, or it could be just about anything else. Jesus described the stars as falling from heaven, which could describe demons being cast to earth or a meteor shower, and that the powers of heaven would be shaken. If we develop confirmation bias in our understanding of prophecy, then during this end time, it can be much easier for confirmation bias and not the Holy Spirit to lead us. And when these false Christs appear, we could be deceived. When Jesus spoke of the fig tree branch being tender and new, indicating summer was near, that tells us the importance of understanding the timing of events. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Confirmation bias not only can snag Christians, but it has also snagged biblical figures. God knew that Pharaoh would be subject to confirmation bias and told Moses that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. In Pharaoh's mind, and in the mind of the Egyptian people, Pharaoh was a god. Having confirmation bias that he was a god recognized by the gods he worshipped, why would Pharaoh trouble himself with a message from the God of Israel? Repeatedly and with greater intensity, God brought a series of plagues to Egypt and a Pharaoh to erase any confirmation bias. Exodus 7, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon the rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged around the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, because confirmation bias told them that they were the religious elites, and as the religious elites, they would have assumed that the Messiah would have come to them out of respect to their religious elite status. When the scribes and Pharisees saw Jesus gaining a notoriety with the people, they sought to find any reason to accuse him. And this got to the point where this consumed who they were. They breathed, ate, and slept, seeking ways they could accuse Jesus. Luke 6, verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did, when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Confirmation bias can lead a Christian to see faults in other people without seeing their own faults. As Christians, we have a desire to grow in the Spirit, and it is very human to make oneself look good at the expense of another person. We are not saved and given eternal life because we do better than the person next to us. We are given eternal life because it is a gift from God. And if we want to be worthy of that gift, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Paul told the Romans to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they could prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Confirmation bias can give us a reason to believe we have already arrived at that renewed mind. It is much better to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Confirmation bias can cause us to consider any hardship in life as proof that we are living a godly life. Instead of looking to challenges of life as proof we are living a godly life, we should consider that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, as evidence and proof, for correction, and to learn what righteousness is. Staying focused on what is written in the Bible will do much more for us than allowing confirmation bias to conclude hardships of life prove anything spiritually about us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Confirmation bias can lead us to think what we are doing is correct. Instead of thinking what we are doing is correct, if we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, we will do what is correct. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Confirmation bias can cause us to jump to conclusions before we have all the facts. Spiritually, that can only lead to errors. Proverbs 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Confirmation bias and seeking a sign are closely related. When the Pharisees and Sadducees sought a sign from heaven through Jesus, he reminded them that people seek a sign, confirmation that what they are thinking is correct. If we think about the road signs we see, these not only point us in the direction we need to go, but they also confirm we are on a road to take us to our destination. Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks signs." As long as the signs are all legitimate, there might not be a problem with signs. But if we found ourselves traveling in an unfamiliar area and somebody put up a wrong or misleading sign for whatever reason, we would probably end up at the wrong destination. Seeking signs is like relying on confirmation bias. When both are based on errors, we will have a harder time. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." Jeremiah wrote that we should not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, because the uncalled can be swayed by the signs of heaven. And what do these people who are swayed by a sign do? They cut a tree out of the forest and ornately decorate it with gold and silver after attaching a base to it so it doesn't fall down. Seeking signs that the uncalled seek can cause us to adopt their practices, which is heresy to God. Jeremiah 10, verse 1. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good." Those who seek signs need to consider that Satan, who lies, can also have lying signs. Imagine how frustrated we would be if we followed a road sign for hours only to find out those signs were all wrong. Instead of heading to the destination we thought we were going to, these wrong signs would take us to some other destination. When it comes to spiritual matters, we do not want to be led astray by Satan by considering lying signs and wonders, because what we believe to be true would be false, and that fits into confirmation bias. Instead of being led by signs and wonders, it is best to be led by the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that he be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Miracles can be assigned to those who are not yet of the household of faith, as much as prophecy best serve those who are of the household of faith. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not, but for them which believe. Miracles that become signs can be faked. And in Revelation, a book of prophecy that should be of urgent importance for all who are of the household of faith, we see that spirits of devils work miracles to persuade national leaders, and that ultimately this will lead mankind to Armageddon. Those miracles will be impressive, but will be used to deceive. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. If we seek a sign, then that sign becomes our source of truth. We believe because we have seen the sign. Instead of being led by signs, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. With signs, we always have the risk of seeing a false sign or not understanding the sign. Conversely, the Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit is there to lead us as we yield to it through our life, including during the most difficult moments. He told the disciples not to worry when their faith was put to the test, because the Holy Spirit would lead them in what to say. If we endure to the end, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to the end, we will be saved. Mark 13, verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Instead of seeking a sign to confirm we are good with God and Jesus Christ, we need to continue to purify ourselves. In this life, we are never spiritually pure like God and Jesus Christ. There is always work for us to do. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Instead of seeking a sign that we are righteous, we need to do what is righteous. If we are doing what is righteous, we won't need a sign. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Instead of seeking a sign if we are righteous or not, we simply need to do what is righteous, knowing that those who do what is not righteous are not of God. If we are doing what is righteous, having love for each other will be part of who we are. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The love that we have will lead us to help others as we are able to do so. Love will be more than a thought or words, and will result in action. And when we have this type of love, we are of the truth. We are the household of faith. We are of the righteous. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. The love that we have will also lead us to have confidence towards God in keeping his commandments and doing what is pleasing in his sight. And that includes knowing Jesus is the Son of God and having love for each other. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We must be led by the Holy Spirit, and as we are led by the Holy Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit, yielding ourselves to the lead of the Holy Spirit. We will do those things which are spiritual. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, there is no condemnation we need to worry about, because we will be doing what is expected of us. In us, the righteousness of the law needs to be fulfilled. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we do not allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, if we seek signs, if we allow ourselves to fall prey to confirmation bias, we cannot please God. We must be led by the Holy Spirit, doing those things which are pleasing in God's sight. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are the children of God. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We all want to be part of the kingdom of God, and our journey to the kingdom of God does not rely on signs which may or may not be true, because in the world of signs, Satan can put up misleading signs. Those misleading signs can give us confirmation bias, thinking we have spiritually arrived at our destination, when in fact we have not. The Holy Spirit is like an internal GPS and map that, if we allow it, will lead us to eternal life and the kingdom of God. As we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we will do those things which are righteous and pleasing in God's sight. We will keep His commandments as we recognize the incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His commandment to love each other. And as we are able, that love will be more than thoughts and words and will result in us taking needed action. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.